2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Friday out there to you. This is the NBA Daily Dispatch brought to you by the good folks over at DFSArmy.com. If you're not signed up with us, what a better time to do so. Use that promo code PODCAST. It's going to get you 20% off each month of your subscription. Comes out to $16 a month, 24/7 access to our Slack chat channel where you could chat with coaches and like-minded DFS players, projections, a cheat sheet each day for NBA, and the brand new, the brand sparkling new Domination Station, which is already helping people win hundreds of dollars. Once again, that's promo code PODCAST at DFSArmy.com. I'm your host, Al Walsh. You can follow me on Twitter at 14A.Walsh. Joining me in the cockpit, as always, Keith Hall. You can follow him on Twitter at Boomers DFS Daddy. Keith, on this Inauguration Friday, welcome in.
What's up? It's definitely a good day in the neighborhood. It's about it's sunny and high of 65 here in fantastic Oklahoma. For all of you guys that are dealing with winter weather, I actually honestly kind of would trade you a little bit. I actually like the winter weather, so but it's a good 9-game slate. It's going to be a lot of fun, and we definitely have some work to do today, brother.
Yeah, if you want to call it fun, okay. But, yeah, these longer slates on the docket take a lot more expertise digging into, possibly a punt that you're going to need to go off at about 2%. But we're going to break all that down for you. As Keith said, 9 games. So let's no dilly-dally. Let's just get in right into it. What do you say?
I say it's fine. I do have one little thing that I want to throw out there. When we talk about value now, as far as the Army's concerned, on FanDuel, you always wanted, you know, that 5X was that nice, good little multiplier, you know, it'd get you to 300. Well, 300 ain't getting you shit nowadays. So value to the Army is 5.5 to get you to 325. Okay.
Okay.
Even with the, and I actually kind of like, you know, we talked about this yesterday, the fact that FanDuel had made better pricing was really kind of nice. Even with them making their pricing better, I still think we need to shoot for 325. 300 with the way that the industry has grown smarter, with the way that there is now a ton of information out there, I don't think that 300 is it's a realistic goal if you're new, you know, but I honestly really think that 325 is something that we really, really, really need to shoot for.
So, yeah, I'm with it. Let's call it 7X value. Well, let's just go ahead and go all the way with it.
Well, why not 10?
All right, yeah, sure, I'm with it.
We're kidding. I kind of think that, you know, that 5.5X, that, or 5.5X, 5.5X, that 325 is something that, you know, is something that's still attainable. It's gonna cash you in all your cash games more often than not, 9 out of 10 times, and it's going to definitely going to win you, or it's definitely going to get you all your cash game wins more times than not, and it's going to put you in a nice spot to be in the position to cash in your tournaments. So. I kind of feel like, you know, we need to raise the bar a little bit since we do consider ourselves some of the best as far as breaking down the slates and giving the information out there.
Oh, you goddamn right. No one better, Keith. All right, 9 games. Let's get into it. We'll start in the city of brotherly love where the Portland Trail Blazers walk in. This is the one opened up as a pick'em, but Blazers have taken a 1.5-point spread in this one. Minuscule -120 on the money line and a total of 209, which is right in the middle of all the action tonight. Couple of notes in this one. Did you know that the Blazers are 2-9 outright and against the spread this season in the Eastern and Central time zones?
Well, yeah, the Blazers suck on the road.
That was fun to look at. And then also, too, we've got the Sixers here who have won 5 of their last 7 games and 7 of their last 9. Not too many notes on the spread since we got a small number there, so not going to look too much into that. In terms of injuries, Ed Davis, he is questionable. He missed the last game with an ankle injury and making our lives so much easier for the Sixers. Everyone's healthy, so boo.
Except for Ben Simmons. Who has now magically found his way into the FanDuel player pool.
He has. Remember, only significant injuries. But yes, I can't wait for the return of Simmons. You know, as a Nets fan, I'm not too worried about competition. We're done. So, let's start with the Blazers first here. Obviously, this backcourt of Damian Lillard, they're on the brink of, getting back to where they want to be. Tonight is a pretty good matchup for them. If you're looking for narrative here, CJ McCollum, he grew up in Ohio, but he did play his college ball at nearby Lehigh University in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. So there is that sort of narrative street. But he's coming off 2 stinkers. He did average 45.6 FanDuel points in the 7 games prior to that. So God forbid you got that gun to your head with the A or B situation. Is it Lillard or McCollum tonight?
Well, it's definitely not Damian Lillard.
Hey-o.
I don't play Damian Lillard on the road. I know that that would be a quote-unquote fantastic tournament play. But we also have to be smart about this. I mean, we've got James Harden, Anthony Davis, Giannis Antetokounmpo, DeMarcus Cousins, Kevin Durant, Jimmy Butler, DeMar DeRozan, Steph Curry, and Kyle Lowry all ahead of him. Yeah, it's Philly, but I mean, if we're talking 5.5x here, okay, at 8.4, I need 46.2. He hasn't done that on the road since Sacramento before Christmas. And that's still on the West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just now maybe the fact that he was – now you can correct me if I'm wrong because I'm assuming if Russell Westbrook is not freaking starting in the All-Star game that Damian Lillard again is not an All-Star. Am I correct? I haven't totally looked over the rosters.
Didn't they just do starters yesterday? Or am I wrong on that?
Okay. Well, if they just did start... Whoa. Okay, that's the totals for the All-Star starters. If they just did the All-Star starters, then there's no narrative there for it. So, I was about to say, because we saw it last year when he was snubbed, he just went on a freaking tear, and you could play him every night, and he was a plug and play.
Right.
Right now, no. Just not doing it.
I saw a phenomenal tweet today. It had, I believe, all of the All-Star starters combined have 19 triple doubles, and Westbrook has 21.
Yep.
But he's
not good enough to start in the All-Star game.
No, apparently. All right, so CJ McCollum is going to be your guy out of these two, we're safely assuming.
Yeah, even though I don't want to pay that price for him either. I mean,
yeah.
I'm going back and looking here at his last couple games. I'm trying to see how he's been shooting. Because the issue is even though because he hasn't been, let's see here, he took 18 shots, he shot 38% from the field his last game. The game before that, Come on. Damn. Against Washington. And these aren't bad matchups here either. So he shot 12 times, shot 41%. That one's not as bad. He did, for whatever reason, he only played 22 minutes. Maybe they backed him off a little bit just because he'd been playing so much. I mean, he's priced up. He's going to make you make a decision. I mean, I guess you would want to have one of these two, but do I really, really, really feel good enough about either one of these two on the road, even though it is Philadelphia, at maybe a higher ownership because of that, to pay 81 and 8,400 for either one of these guys?
Yeah, and we got to remember, too, Philly, I mean, they're improving drastically on defense, 10th in terms of defensive efficiency this season. I mean, look, I know DVP can always be a little bit misleading, but, I mean, you know, it's not like these other teams are really pouring it on the Sixers like they usually do. TJ McConnell back in the lineup, he's, you know, in the top 10 in terms of defensive RPM. You know, he can certainly slow down a little bit. You talked about the home road splits for him already. I mean, that's a spot that we could fade. I mean, this could be a pretty decent calculated fade here for us tonight, especially when, you know, we got a game with a total of 237 that we're going to want some exposure to. I mean, typically, you know, this season, it's gone. If you want to, you know, douse the Sixers, if you will, you do it in the paint. And, you know, we got two decent options here. Al-Farouq Aminu started out on a decent, you know, tear out there against the Hornets in what was perceived to be a tremendous matchup. Slowed down there in the third quarter, which really hurt his bottom line. But, you know, and then the same thing goes for Mason Plumlee. I mean, he hasn't been hitting salary expectations in four of his last six games. That's a bit worrisome. So if we're going to attack the Sixers, I feel like those are better dollar per point plays out there, if you will. But I don't think that, you know, those guys are probably going to get us, you know, what we need for tournaments based on their last couple of games.
Now, you know, see, here's the thing with Plumlee. Because it was funny because I was laughing at another guy on another show from another site that shall be left nameless. But he was like,
love that nameless show.
Yeah. He was like, well, you know, Plumlee hasn't been really performing lately. Well, okay. He played 28 minutes against Portland. Okay. On FanDuel that day, he was 6,500. He basically got you about four and a half x, close to five. It was very, very close to five. Okay. The next day, it was kind of weird because they, like, a lot of these have been blowouts. Like, Portland on the road just gets blown out. I don't think they're going to get blown out here, but, I mean, when you're talking about Mason Plumlee against Washington, he got you 21, but he only played 20 minutes. Why? Because it was a blowout. So, I mean, Damian Lillard only played 28. You know, John Wall played 27 that day. His price was getting up there. I like the price that it, or I like the fact that his price came down now. Now we don't have to, now it isn't as big of a decision. I love Mason Plumlee tonight, especially if Joel Embiid is not playing. I expect him to play, but, you know, it's the NBA, it's January, you just never know. I like him at 6,300, and as long as the game's close, I think he has the opportunity to have a good game at 63.
Sure, sure. Can't forget Evan Turner, revenge game, you know, goes up against the Sixers, the team that drafted him, you know, not necessarily producing much tournament value, but if you want a deep GPP flyer, why not? And then I guess I didn't even look into Maurice Harkless, but I guess 4,400. Oh, boy, he's been sucking lately. So, I don't know. We got to look into all those ones, but, again, not much tournament winning upside going on there. How about the Sixers? Joel Embiid, trust the process. He's been balling lately, even though the price tag is – you know, is getting up there now. So, how do we feel about him?
I mean, the profit potential is still not there. I mean, we said that last time against Toronto and against Milwaukee. I mean, 8.4, we're sitting there, and we need, you know, 46.2. Yeah, he got there against Milwaukee, which is great, but he didn't get there against Toronto. I mean, 46.2, you just go back and you look at it. He's reached that once in since the Brooklyn game, where he popped off for 50. I mean, I just, in cash games, I think he's fine because he's going to get you around that 5X, that 40-point mark, which is great. But when you're talking profit potential for tournaments, Joel Embiid, now with his price, has worked into a cash game mode rather than a tournament mode. Not mode, sorry, player. But you, we say that. Now, with that said, if he's gonna drop another 50 burger, tonight could be the night. It's probably one of the better matchups in the NBA as far as big men is concerned.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, I mean, look, we've been able to pick on the Trailblazers pretty much all season. I mean, you know, you want to talk about just in general with their team, they've sucked on defense. So, I mean, typically the Sixers, running a deep rotation now that they're all pretty much healthy, but I feel like Embiid is the one guy that we can count on. This kind of is a similar situation to Nikola Jokic last night, not in the sense of he's in a tough matchup, but just how much he is priced, and you know, you still have that upside that he produced last night. So yeah, I mean, I could certainly get down with it, especially at home. I mean, this guy's playing out of his mind lately. The Philly crowd has just been unbelievable these last couple of home games. So, you know, they're pushing him to new heights as well. I think that you could certainly pay up for Embiid if you're smart in other positions. But, you know, again, with what we talked about at the beginning of the show, if we're looking for 10X value, you know, this probably isn't the way to go. But I think you at least put yourself in a good position to assure yourself around 40 points at least.
Yeah, exactly.
What about the rest of this team? Can we take any chances? After all, this is one of the worst defenses in the NBA, the fourth worst one to be exact.
Yeah, I really wish I knew who Alfa Camino was going to be guarding, because that would make a big difference. I'll have to look into that a little bit more.
Although lately nobody cares about Aminu defense, they're just going out doing their thing.
No, Aminu was on Kelly Oubre against Washington, because I saw Markieff Morris going bonkers, and then he was on Michael Kidd-Gilchrist for a lot of the time against Charlotte. So that's why Marvin Williams kind of went ham as well. I went back and watched those games because I was like, well, wait a second here. Is he just having like a bad game or a bad couple games, or is this something that, you know, we just missed? And, you know, Terry Stotts just basically, he's playing Aminu at the three and the four. Depending on the lineup that he goes in. If he has like Ed Davis in the lineup with Plumlee, then you know Aminu's at the three, and so.
No, just want to remember at the beginning, in the spread notes, we talked about, you know, the Blazers being 2-7 in games in the Eastern Central Time Zone, pretty much in every game except their game at Memphis. The opposing team has been comfortably scoring over 100 points. We're talking, you know, 120, 113, 110, numbers like that. So, I mean, that kind of furthers the Embiid discussion there.
Yeah, exactly. So, I love Embiid, don't get me wrong. We rode that price all the way up. But now I just don't think that there's a lot of profit potential there in tournaments. And I might be alone in that. I love the guy. I think if he's not the rookie of the year, because he quote unquote doesn't qualify, with the minutes played and the games played and all that, I think it's a joke, because I can't really name another rookie that's even close.
Yeah.
So.
Indeed. All right, let's get to our next game here. We've got the Toronto Raptors at the Charlotte Hornets. Another one that started out as a pick 'em, but this one goes in favor of the home team here as the Hornets are 1.5-point favorites. Another -120 on the money line and a 215 total in this one. These two teams have met this season. The Hornets won the first meeting 113-111 in that game. Kemba Walker ended up going off. Him and Nicholas Batum nearly missed triple doubles in that game, but the big difference in that one was Kemba scored 40 real points as opposed to Batum's 18. And I believe DeRozan was the one that went off the last time, if I'm not mistaken. I thought I had it written down, but I don't. Yes, it was DeRozan. I believe he went for 34 points in that game. Well, injury notes here, both sides, Damari Carroll, Patrick Patterson, Lucas Nwahera, all questionable for this game. We've got neck, knees, concussions, the whole shebang for this team, so just watch out for that news throughout the day. And then Jeremy Lamb is questionable. He's missed the last three games with the ankle injury. Not sure which way he's trending, but again, watch out for the news. Okie dokie. All right, so this one's going to come down to the dynamic duo from both sides, Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan from the Raptors, Kemba Walker and Nicholas Batum from the Hornets. Which one's more appealing to you?
Nick Batum is probably more appealing just because, you know, DeMar DeRozan's not good on defense. Kyle Lowry has at least shown in the past that he's capable of playing good defense. You know, Kemba's been a little bit more efficient lately. I mean, honestly, I don't think you would want to do this, like, if you're just making one or two lineups, but, I could make it, you can make a case against all four, to play all four of them.
Yeah.
I mean, DeMar DeRozan would be the one I would probably fade, just because he's 9,300.
Sure.
Now, does he have the capabilities of, you know, going for 60? Yeah, sure he does. But, you know, you're also talking about a guy that, you know, if people can't fit in, guys like Harden or Antetokounmpo, they're going to go straight to DeMar DeRozan. It's an option. It's really hard to get past those top two at the shooting guard position today. And if you do, I think it's really, you know, if you, I can't see myself paying $9,300 for DeMar DeRozan. I like playing him when he's under 9K, not when he's over 9K, because we know that we're going to get the points, the raw points. Okay. He's like the second or the third or fourth leading scorer in the NBA per game, but it's the secondary statistics that push him over the edge. And you can say that about anybody, but with DeMar DeRozan, it really is. If he gets the rebounds and he gets the assists, then he's going to put up a 60 burger. If not, then he's going to put up a 35-40. And I think I'm willing to take the chance that, you know, between Kemba and Lowry and Batum, that he might be the top scorer, but he's not going to be the best dollar per point play.
Certainly. Now, look, there are some other options you can go with on the Raptors. Obviously, all those questionable tags could put Jonas Valanciunas in a good spot. He's put up 30 fantasy points, 4 of his last five games here of late. You know, again, I talked about this, you know, his head coach Dwayne Casey kind of called him out where, you know, Valanciunas was in the media saying, "Oh, how come I'm not playing down the stretch?" And then Casey comes in, he's like, "Well, if that boy would dominate down the stretch, then he would play." And, you know, he had the one dominant, you know, quote unquote dominant performance against the Celtics, but since then he's kind of just been limping to value. You know, but again, in this matchup against the Hornets, that could be the overriding factor in this one. They have not been good against the center position you know, since Cody Zeller has been in there full time. They also got Jared Sullinger back in the Raptors lineup. I don't think he's going to play significant minutes, but, you know, he's still, he could 13, I believe, in the first game out.
Yeah, he played, well, I mean, it might as well be 14 because it was 13 minutes and 50 seconds. So, yeah, let's just all say right, 14 minutes. No, he's not in play. He wasn't even in the player pool the other day. I think it kind of caught all of us by surprise that he was even active.
Yes, it did. Typically, we get a hint, week away, like, guess who's back?
You know, and this is a guy that, you know, in certain matchups, as long as he works his way back and he's, you know, playing 25 to 30 plus minutes, depending on his price, he's going to be viable here shortly. So it's something that we do need to watch out for. And his current price, he's okay. Is 4,000, which is very, very tempting. I guess it kind of depends. If they say his minutes limit isn't at 15 and it's at like 20 at 4,000 against the likes of Marvin Williams and everything, can you play him?
I don't know. I mean, look, how many times have we seen it this season where, you know, guys just absolutely popped off out of nowhere? I mean, I guess it could be an interesting GVP play, but, you know.
I mean, your options at that price range, if you need, are Frank Kaminsky, Chris Humphreys or Kardashian, Nikola Mirotic, who God knows, or Nerlens Noel, Dario Saric, and Anthony Tolliver. Especially if Patrick Patterson's out.
Yeah, you know. So I gotta add a little bit of current events to this next joke. But I know the Ringling brothers are going at a circus. We don't need to be the ones jumping through hoops of fire. Bam! Nailed it! Nailed it!
Oh, next.
Yeah, do you see? I was looking. Final show tickets for them are $2,000 for a bunch of elephants and freaks. Crazy.
Jesus.
Yeah, I'm over it.
You gotta be.
Yes, indeed. All right. So, what are we thinking from the Hornets side of things?
Marvin Williams. His price is up there. He's 4,900. I think he's put up 25 in the last two games. That's basically 5.5. He's going to get you. The only bad game was against the Philadelphia 76ers, where he put up an 8.4. But I think that was more along the lines of, his shot wasn't falling. I mean, the four turnovers didn't help, but, he still played 28, 29 minutes in that game. So, expect more of the 15.4 rebound than the 8.9 rebound. But yeah. And see, Marvin Williams did all of that damage in the first half.
Yes.
So we can sit there and look at it and go, okay, the Al-Farouq Aminu defense is still real because, I mean, he shut him down. So, I mean, you can't go to Frank Kaminsky here. It's Marvin Williams, and that's in tournaments only. He's going to be low-owned because I don't think people are going to want to pay $4,900 for him, but I think he's a pretty decent play today, considering there's not a lot of value on the lower-end spectrum of things.
Sure. What about Cody Zeller? He's disappointed the last couple games, but he does get a fairly decent matchup.
No, I can't do it. Not at 5K. I'm glad they raised that price. I mean, he hasn't really disappointed. He's disappointed compared to his ownership. I mean, when you're, what was he against Boston? Like 29, 30% owned? I don't want Cody Zeller at 30% owned. I want Cody Zeller at like 4% or 10%, you know, to be a little bit more realistic. So, I mean, I guess, but what happens if, you know, he played 25 minutes against Portland, probably because they went small. No, it's because they were blowing him out. Weren't they? I forgot what.
Yes.
They were blowing him out.
This game, Portland, you're saying,
yeah, it was
107, right?
Yeah, it was 107-85. So, it's just kind of one of those things, like, you know, you're sitting there looking at it going, okay, yeah, he put up an 18, but look at the reasoning why. Don't just look at the game log. This is why we say don't just game log watch. This is why we don't chase points. This is why we don't, and it keeps us out of a lot of traps. So I'll have to look into it a little bit more, but Cody Zeller actually might be a good play. I'm glad you kind of turned me on to him because I was not even thinking about him.
The domination station, if you, you know, do your standard three lineup basis, that he is the center for all three of them. But then again, he was the center for all three of them against the Blazers. But again, the blowout kind of
didn't have it up.
I believe he was. He was there.
Was that on Wednesday?
Yeah.
Okay, then we did. My bad.
I'm like, come on, man. Don't be messing with my short-term memory now.
Oh, mine's horrible. I forgot a bottle this morning for my son. So
I'm sure he didn't mind. I'm not sure he'll forgive you. You know.
Oh, well, since he's eating real food, it kind of helps out. But, yeah. yeah, I just got done uploading the projections to the domination station, and you're right. He's the center for every single one of them. So, yeah, it might be something I need to look into a little bit more.
All right. Next game that we got here, we've got the Milwaukee Bucks at the Orlando Magic. Bucks started out as 2.5-point favorites in this, but have jumped all the way up to 4-point favorites in this one. -170 on the money line are the Bucks. 2-11 is our total for this one. Interesting. Both teams have actually been pretty bad against the spread in this. Yeah, I'm not going to go too much into it, but the Bucks are 2-6 in their last 8 games against the spread. Bucks have won both meetings against the Magic this season. Interesting point to note here as well. The first time that these two teams met, the totals of the respective games were 200.5. The other one was 196.5. So all of a sudden, we get a 210 total in this one. Kind of interesting that it's boosted up big time. Obviously, I think that gives us a big indicator on Giannis Antetokounmpo in this one. And in his first meeting against – well, it was the second time that they played, but the first matchup in Orlando this season, quite a profitable one as he finished with a triple-double. And in that game, he had 5 steals and 3 blocks. That's going to be tough to replicate, but I think the triple-double is certainly in line.
Yeah, I mean, he's a triple-double threat every single time he steps on the floor, and especially in good matchups, it's kind of hard, you know, not to – it's kind of hard to make a case against him. I mean, I don't like the fact that this is in Orlando and not in – just because, you know, Orlando plays a little bit slower of a pace, and pace tends to favor the home team a little bit, but, I mean – you can't deny Giannis has got the abilities to drop a 60 and be the highest scoring player, not just shooting guard, but player on this slate. If you're on DraftKings, he's an automatic lock button for me just because of the fact that he's now small forward eligible. And unless I'm putting in Kevin Durant at small forward or Jimmy Butler, you know, I've come to the conclusion that I don't like to play, you know, the Robert Covingtons, the Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, the DeMar Carrolls, unless I need value on DraftKings. I like guys that are going to pile up the usage, and they changed it. Son of a.
You almost said it.
He's only point guard eligible now. So thanks, DraftKings, for changing that again. I guess it was just for that one slate.
Well, what was it? They had him as a shooting guard for one day, and I think it was like his off day or something. It was something weird circumstance, and then they threw him back as a
No, it was the day he was sick. Forward.
Ah.
He came out and he played 9 minutes and then left, so it didn't help.
Right,
because
right,
nobody
right.
was
that
playing
was
him anyways. So
interesting.
Yeah, it's
now but I was gonna say, in terms of the rest of these Bucks players, is anything else viable? I mean, we've kind of seen a couple of these other guys slipping. In my opinion, you know, you got Jabari Parker, Malcolm Brogdon, and Greg Monroe as being viable, but, you know, just as this Bucks team has struggled of late, so have these guys.
Yeah. I mean, Jabari Parker's kind of one of those guys where, you know, he's got all the talent in the world, but to pay $7,400 for him on FanDuel going up against Serge Ibaka, no thank you. You know, then you've got Greg Monroe, who there for a while was playing, you know, 28 to 30 minutes, and all of a sudden Jason Kidd happened again, and he goes back down to 20, 21, 18. He's now overpriced for the amount of minutes. It's a great matchup, and if you're, you know, building, you know, multiple teams, he's definitely worth a look if that's where your roster takes you. But if we're talking, you know, three entry max, single entries or cash games, hell no. I would rather pay $800 or $700 more for Mason Plumlee or go to Jonas Valanciunas for $100 more.
Mm.
So I just, center's not deep tonight as it has been in the past. They're deep with good matchups, but it's a lot of unpredictability. And
yes,
for cash games, you just can't do that. You know, cash games, you can go Boogie and Embiid, Gobert. You could even go Vucevic. But other than that, I can't do it. I mean, I don't even think he's going to be in any of my tournament lineups because of that.
Yeah, it'll certainly be tough. All right, so to the Magic side of things, you know, Serge Ibaka hasn't done that well lately, but this is a fantastic matchup for him. I think just in terms of, you know, body structure, he should be able to bang up the popsicle stick boy Jabari himself. I honestly can envision this is going to be one of those Ibaka games where he goes off for like 30 in the first quarter. Now, what happens after that? That's anyone's guess. That I have no clue about. But I really see it with the way that the total is set up, and you know, possibly, you know, I forgot to even mention this, but Evan Fournier questionable for this game. He's missed the last three with the foot injury. Jody Meeks is going to miss 4 to 6 weeks with the thumb injury.
And
so,
CJ Wilcox is out with a knee injury.
Yeah, okay, all right. But
Mario,
you know, again,
who's on ya?
So that's going to be more shots to go up. And, you know, again, with this being the best matchup going up against the Bucks, that power forward position, I really like Ibaka a lot tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you've got to – I'm glad he kind of struggled the last couple games because that made his price go down. He was getting a little bit too pricey. But I mean, the Portland matchup, we said, we don't pick on Al-Farouq Aminu. That's a bad matchup. Utah is a bad matchup. Denver, you know, Fareed's not a bad defender, and he played a lot in that game. But I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think it just, he didn't have any blocks, which was crazy. But two, just, you know, New Orleans is a better matchup because it's the Terrence Jones, Dante Cunningham, Solomon Hill, Anthony Davis, you know, combination in there. So it was better. If he gives me 35, then I'm happy. I like him more for cash games than tournaments because I don't foresee this being a double-double with five blocks. Like the Lakers game was, where he can get, you know, 45, 48 points. But for cash games, he can get you 30. And if that's where, because you got to look at people around him. Zach Randolph going against Sacramento, okay, I guess. Ersan Ilyasova at 5,800 going against Portland and Aminu, no. Dirk going against Favors and Utah, no. I guess you could put in there Al-Farouq Aminu, but I mean, there's some options that are cheaper, but and there's some option. He's going to be low owned. Oh, I'm talking myself into tournaments with him now because I just saw who was right above him. I don't know. I don't see Milwaukee as a Lakers type where they're just, you know, horrible down low. They've got bigger bodies to be able to throw out there than the Lakers do. I think that I mean, he's an option. As of right now, he's an option, but he's not an intriguing one. He's on that fringe. So that's something I'm going to have to make a note here of. Serge Ibaka against Jabari Parker. All right. So that's something I'm going to have to look into a little bit more.
All right. We had Elfrid Payton. He chumped his homecoming the other night. You know, again, something that we're going to try to take a closer look at going forward. But, you know, prior to that, he had exceeded his salary expectations in the three games prior to that. This could be a nice bounce back spot for him tonight. Again, if Fournier plays, you know, he's going to be risky, but he did post a team high 47.7 FanDuel points against the Bucks earlier this season. And then we've also got Nikola Vucevic, who's failed to meet salary expectations in his last three games, but he did post a 42.7 against the Bucks earlier this season.
Yeah, I mean, this was the game that one of our members was like in second in the shot, because he had played Elfrid Payton at like 0.2% owned, because it was right after Payton went to the bench, and that was about the time that we started to really, really pay attention to guys that, you know, go away from the starting unit and end up getting more usage with the second team. And performing a lot better. The problem is now they've put him back in the starting lineup. His production has dropped off a little bit, but it's not so much to where I'm going to completely avoid it, especially since Matthew Dellavedova is not going to be in the mix.
Fair enough. All right, let's get to the next one here. We've got the Brooklyn Nets at the New Orleans Pelicans. Pelicans 10-point favorites in this one. -600 on the money line, over under at 218.5. No spread notes because the line just came out today. But let's start out with my Nets. Jeremy Lin, he's going to be out, of course. He's missed multiple games with the hamstring. I wrote it down in all caps, not to forget it. Caris LeVert today. Okay, gotta play this guy on DraftKings. The price tag on him on FanDuel has gone all the way up to 4,100. I don't think that he's playable there, but DraftKings, of course, I mean, he's damn near the minimum salary. And, you know, this guy has just been providing a huge spark off the Nets bench. You know, Nets coach Kenny Atkinson has already said, you know, he wants to get him more minutes. My issue with that is he had two major issues in college, so I don't feel like we need to be rushing him out there for more minutes. But
well, they said they wanted to bring him along slowly, but he's making the case to get more significant minutes. And you've got to like that when a guy's basically, you know, when they want to bring him along slowly on your team, but he's making the case because he's performing that he needs to get more minutes. You've got to like that for his future.
I do. You know, for me, again, it's just, you know, long term. You know, I don't want him to get another one of these major injuries and then us be up Schitt's Creek without a paddle, however that saying goes. But, you know, I'd rather them be cautious, especially because we're not going anywhere. But again, if they're going to give him the minutes, then, you know, I don't have to sit here and pout about it. Now, I don't play on DraftKings, but, you know, for everybody else that does, that's just a phenomenal value out there just based on the fact the guy's been getting anywhere. You know, we're talking 24 minutes probably seems realistic in the game if they're going to be getting blown out. I mean, you know, Vegas thinks so. So, yeah, I can certainly see that amount of minutes. And again, you know, he's a guy that can hit the three, get you a couple different bonus points in that way. He's good with steals and whatnot. So yeah, a lot of different peripherals are there for him. I mean, look, if you haven't watched this guy play, he is the total package. I'm just holding my breath every time he's got the ball because I'm like, okay, this is a major part of our future. Please don't get hurt or anything like that. But, yeah, certainly viable on DraftKings at 3,300.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that. That fart or that point. So
that fart. Yeah. Oh my God. I know. Right now, every time I talk about the Nets, it sounds like it.
Yeah. Right now we've got him projected about 23 minutes, which I think is probably pretty accurate. So
yeah, Absolutely. All right, so again, 10-point dogs in this one, not looking good for the Nets. Again, we're probably going to see Anthony Davis at the center position. So I guess, you know, this could open some things up for Trevor Booker tonight. I guess the domination station loves Sean Kilpatrick tonight.
Of course it does.
Yeah, it always does. Now, what's interesting about that is I've seen this a couple times where the domination station loves Kilpatrick, or you know, any kind of optimizer loves Kilpatrick. And it's actually LeVert.
Or Bogey.
They do all the things. So what I like about that, and I think other people should be cognizant of, if you see people, and it's tough to do this because, you know, you're kind of adding an extra, you know, sense of confusion into it. But, you know, just because that guy on the domination station is there, it could also be some of the guys in that same position or like a similar position to his. So, you know, I think what they're saying is, you know, somebody on the wings for the Nets is going to do well tonight.
Well, I would hope so with the total at what it is and the fact that, you know, the Pelicans suck at guarding wing defenders. It's just, you know, you would hope that somebody's there, but,
right.
You know, you just kind of never know. It's one of those situations where you're like, okay, which one of these guys? It's a Russian roulette situation. That's what I was thinking of. Which one of these guys is it going to be today? Because I sure as hell haven't had any luck figuring that thing out. A lot of people in this NFL season were complaining about Amari Cooper and Michael Crabtree, and I was kind of always on the right end of that stick.
Right.
You know, I'm on the completely wrong end of that stick, and my advice at the time was, hey, you know, just either play them both, especially if they're around the same, or play all of them, or, you know, if there was a guy that, like, if I played Sean Kilpatrick the other game, the last game, and he screwed me, I can't remember or anything, but I'm using hypothetical. I'm going to play him the next game, and eventually, one of these times, I'm going to be right. Unless he just never has a good game ever again, so, which I don't foresee happening.
Should we call this the Hassan Whiteside theory?
No, there's actually fact behind this Hassan Whiteside theory. This is just, you know, I can't get them right type of situation.
Gotcha.
And everybody has those guys that you just can't get right. And for me, it's the Brooklyn Nets. Like, it's not even just one guy. It's the whole damn team.
And that's no fault to you, Keith. I mean, believe me, this is the I truly declare it a gift upon myself to know what's going on with this team, obviously, because I'm one of 14 people that watch them on a regular basis. And, you know, that doesn't even include the 12 that are on their roster. But, you know, it's an interesting spot. But the one thing that I do know is that there are plenty of places to target the Nets. I mean, they do give up the most fantasy points per game as a whole. You know, you take a look at, you know, they run the fastest pace in the NBA, and they are the third worst defense. That is a perfect recipe for a grand old cake for the Pelicans tonight. You know, we take a look at the total, the spread, everything is lining up for them. Well, we know it's a one-man band for the Pelicans nowadays, you know, in terms of fantasy points.
Really?
As I write,
you haven't been watching the Pelicans lately.
Well, I'm going to say, you know, as we know with Anthony Davis, I mean, you know, look, the Nets are getting absolutely hammered by centers this season, but that's the good news. The bad news, we all know what that is. But the fact that the Pelicans are basically running a five-man backcourt, that really clouds things up just in terms of who we know is going to be that guy.
Well, yeah. I mean, Tyreek Evans is producing like a man-child, and he's only playing 20 minutes a game. If you hear somebody out there try to tell you that his minutes restriction is off, or he's playing, you know, his minutes restriction has been raised. Yeah, it's been raised from 14 to 28, or 14 to 20, the 20-22 mark, because the only reason why he played 28 was in the Brooklyn game was there's something happened to something happened to somebody, and he was forced to play more minutes. And that was, you know, that was the night he went off, and then he's gone back down. Now, With that said, he's still producing. The problem is you now need a minimum of 32 in order for him to pay off his salary at 58. And I'm more willing to bet that his 1.75, 1.8, almost 2 point per minute fantasy production does not keep going than I am paying up for him and on a you know, a limited amount of minutes that he's going to play. I would rather play Jrue Holiday, who now, for some odd reason, not some odd reason, I know why, because they're all in the mix, is only playing 26. I mean, sure, in tournaments, kind of sprinkle some of these guys in if you want to, and maybe you can get lucky. I'm more apt to play Buddy Hield at 3,800, who's going to play, you know, 18 to 22 minutes, rather than I am to pay up. But I mean, you've got Buddy Hield, you've got Etwan Moore, who's playing 26 minutes. You know, you've got Tyreek Evans, you've got Jrue Holiday. I mean, they're all four of them are playing, and they're all playing around the same minutes. So I just, unless it's tournaments, I don't think you can go there.
Yes, definitely tricky. What's your glass half stance tonight?
Oh, I loved him the other night, getting him at 8% owned. You know, he only played 29 minutes, put up 43.8. It didn't kill me, but it didn't help. Not at his price, but I mean, he's definitely not cash game viable. And if you're wanting to fade Giannis or James Harden, or, you know, get a different pairing in there, then I mean, it's Brooklyn. I mean, Anthony Davis literally is matchup proof. The problem is, you know, is he going to stay out of the X-ray room?
Right. And I mean, look, we've seen him do very well in these pace up matchups, like the massive upside that we've been looking for from him. So
if Anthony, here's how I would handle it in tournaments. And you can tell me if I'm wrong or kind of on the right way. If I feel Anthony Davis is going to be low owned, I have a lot more interest in him than if he's going to be chalk.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Because of the propensity to, you know, miss a quarter and a half. So, I mean, I've finally forgiven him for screwing me out of $100,000. So I'm going to get it back sooner or later. It might be a little bit at a time, and it might be from not playing him when he's chalk and him going out in the first quarter and not returning, but I'm going to get my money back.
Right. Yeah, and look, I'll always forgive a guy like that who has that massive talent. Like, obviously it's not his fault that he's missing, you know, some time in these games. He's just got shitty luck. I mean,
do you think that part of it is that since he's the franchise, they want to be, they're being so careful with him during games? Like, if he like tweaks his ankle, they're like, oh, nope, gotta go to the X-ray room. You think that's part of it?
I do. I think that's a huge part of it.
Okay, because, I mean, the guy, if you look at a picture from now, from when he first came in the league to now, the dude's put on some massive muscle. And great, he's young, and coming into the league, you would expect that. I don't think he's as, quote-unquote, glass housey as everybody wants to make him out to be. But I do think that they do take a lot of precaution because of the fact that he basically is that guy or that franchise.
Yeah.
I was thinking about that the other day.
Indeed. All right. That's our stance there. I love AD in the matchup. Again, we all know what the bad news is with him. All right, let's get to the next one. We got the Chicago Bulls at the Atlanta Hawks. Hawks 5-point favorites, -205 in this one, and that's on the money line. And hey, it's the total as well. Not much, you know, in terms of spread notes. That's a difference maker. Taj Gibson is a game time decision. He missed the last game. Did practice on Thursday, though. But they do want to run him out before the game and see how that goes. That's all to do with an ankle injury. And then Mike Muscala has missed the last three games with an ankle injury. He will be out again tonight. I think that Taj Gibson thing is interesting because if he misses or if he's hobbled in any way, I mean, Paul Millsap should fully be able to take advantage of that. And then, you know, you got Dwight Howard down there too against Robin Lopez. So I guess since we're talking about the Hawks, let's start with them.
Paul Millsap, really. And even then, I think he's just regulated to tournament or to cash games. $8,200 is a lot. There's not a lot of profit potential. Yes, it's a good matchup, but it's not like Paul Millsap. I mean, he rarely goes for 50. And if I'm going to pay over $8,000 for a guy, I really want them to have the ability to get to 50 more times than not. And
right.
I would rather miss the 50-point Paul Millsap game in tournaments rather than, you know, get it. Now, granted, like we've said with a lot of these other guys that I'm kind of shying away from that I think people are going to chase, if Paul Millsap has the ability to do it, this is definitely a good matchup for him to do it in. But I just don't – I don't – you know, that's – him and Dwight Howard are kind of eating at each other right now. I mean, and then you have the – and we don't predict blowouts, but my God. Atlanta came – it was 42-18 at one point during that Detroit game. And Boonholzer just benched everybody. Just, yep, you're done. I mean, Dwight Howard played 21 minutes. I mean, I think he gave him the opportunity in the second half to kind of come out and, like, right the ship. Nope, sorry, peace out. You're done. I mean, we'll talk about him here in a second, but, I mean... I can't do Bazemore.
Well, he was on a roll prior to last game, but you got to think, you know, that last game was just a huge misnomer.
But he wasn't going up against Jimmy Butler either.
Right. Schroeder could be interesting here. I mean, you know, we've talked about this ever since MCW, you know, took over the starting point guard role there in Chicago. You've had a lot of point guards really do some damage. And I'm taking a look at it on StatMuse right now. The big thing that I'm noticing, a lot of guys would assist, and I think Schroeder's good for those. You know, we got Kyle Lowry at 12, John Wall at 14, Westbrook 14, Mike Conley had 8, Darren Williams had 9, Drew Holiday had 12 of them. I mean, this is all, you know, since the beginning of the new year. You know, I'll post this on my article today, but you got some guys with significant upside here. I figure, you know, the line kind of cuts off with Conley at 48 FanDuel points and then Darren Williams at about 30. I do figure Schroeder could get somewhere in the middle of there, and, you know, that would be good tournament upside. Certainly going to be low owned, and the fact that the Hawks are 5-point favorites in this one gives it a little bit of validity.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind that play at all. I think it's one that's very, very viable. You know, we've seen Schroeder have really good games this season in really good matchups. So we've also seen him shit the bed in really good matchups as well. you know, I'll have to look and see exactly what the correlation is, but if we're talking about a lot of assists coming from Schroeder, then that's where you would want to pair him up with like a Paul Millsap or a Tim Hardaway Jr., who I actually think is kind of intriguing at 4,600. If I think he's going to play the close to 28 to, or, you know, closer to the 30 minute mark, because if he gets close to 30 minutes, you know, he's giving you, you know, 25 plus, and that's what I want when I roster Tim Hardaway Jr. I thought with KCP out, we could attack that spot against Detroit, but Detroit just came out and went and manhandled him. I think we just have to throw that game away. I'm willing to go back to Tim Hardaway in tournaments tonight.
Yeah, I dig it too. Back to Schroeder real quick. You know, there's a, a lot of FanDuel points have not been coming his way, but there were two games recently. I mean, I don't know what the deal was. This was before that MLK Day game in New York for them, but the two games prior to that, they were giving Malcolm Delaney more minutes than Schroeder. Like, Schroeder's only playing like 22, 23, and then Delaney was getting the like 26, 27, and then all of a sudden these last couple games, they're not giving Delaney anywhere near 20 minutes. So, I don't know.
The Milwaukee,
what's up with that situation?
Yeah, I think the Boston situation had to do with Isaiah Thomas. He started out that game on fire and was completely – and like we've seen Budenholzer, we just talked about it. He's not afraid to if you're not giving maximum effort, he's not afraid to bench your ass. And so I think that was part of the issue against Boston. Budenholzer can't expect to Schroeder to stop, you know, a guy like Isaiah Thomas, but you know, you at least got to give the effort. You know, which was part of the reason why we liked Kylo Quinn. It's not that he just wasn't capable. It's not that he wasn't giving the effort. I think against Milwaukee, I think it was the fact that he couldn't keep the ball out of Milwaukee's hands. He was turning the ball over. I mean, he had five turnovers. Milwaukee's not a huge fast-paced team, but it is a faster-paced team, and you can't have a lot of live ball turnovers. So I think that had a lot to do with it. Malcolm Delaney's, he's not a great scorer, but he's better defensively. And if you think that you can get the scoring out of guys like, you know, Bazemore and Hardaway and, you know, Millsap, then, I mean, it kind of makes a little bit of sense in a tougher point guard matchup as far as defensive wise to give Delaney more minutes. Now, with that said, this is not that matchup. So I don't think we have to worry about that tonight.
No. Yeah, he's a very scrappy player coming from that Virginia Tech program. A lot of scrappers from there. All right, let's talk about the Bulls in this situation. Obviously, it's a Jimmy Butler thing every time the Bulls are playing. Do you like him enough, I guess, going up against some of the other higher-priced studs on the slate? And if not, I mean, any other viable options we could look at from the Bulls?
Yeah, I mean, look, if we're talking tournament game theory here, and we're saying, you know, we're talking, okay, I'm not going to spend any more than 10K, okay? That means I can go get Jimmy Butler at 89, I can go get Kyle Lowry at 83, I can go get Steph Curry at 87, I can get, that was DraftKings, sorry. Hold on. Boop, boop. Scratch that. It's still going to be the same thing, but, like, you know, if we're sitting there talking about it, you know, okay, let's see here. I'm not going to spend any more for, well, I mean, you could still go back. 10K for a guy. I can go get Curry, Butler, DeRozan, Lowry, Draymond Green, Damian Lillard, even though we already talked about him, Mike Conley. I mean, if you're talking about a tournament game theory where a good percentage of the field in these larger field tournaments are going to say, okay, I want, even if they go with the two cheapest ones, I want Durant and I want Boogie, and then I'm going to jam in the rest. If you go more of a balanced and put 10K as your cap-off point, I mean, Jimmy Butler's in a great spot, and we've seen what he can do. He's taken more of the usage as, like, a point forward since Carter Williams has been in the lineup. I think it's a great spot. Now, do I think he's a little overpriced? Yes. Do I think it's going to be difficult for him to get to what we need him to get to? Yes. But he's got over 50 in two out of the last three.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's kind of Jimmy I like.
Yep. So he's kind of in a little bit of a tear. And the one that he didn't was against Memphis. And, I mean, I'd have to go back and look, but I would assume that he probably had Tony Allen on him most of the game.
Sure.
So, yeah.
Unless they said, hey, we're going to try to shut you down, McDermott. Ha! No, definitely not.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I kind of like it. I don't really think I want to pay $6,900 for Dwayne Wade.
No.
That's his threshold. He can hit value, but there's no profit potential there. I'm not playing. We've been attacking Atlanta with point guards all year, but I can't attack Atlanta with Michael Carter-Williams or Rajon Rondo.
No sort of confidence in that whatsoever.
Nope.
I mean, yeah, go against Atlanta. I got tons, but hell, I might even be able to hit 6x value against Atlanta. But these guys, I don't know. These guys, actual NBA players, I don't know about that. That sounds kind of crazy. All right, so let's get to
Jimmy
Butler
for the Bulls, and that's pretty much it.
All right, let's get to an even more boring game. Sacramento Kings at the Memphis Grizzlies. Grizz opened up as 6.5-point favorites here. They have jumped all the way up to 8. -350 on the money line are the Grizz, and our second lowest total on tonight's slate is here at 199, which is actually 4 points fewer than what it opened at 203. In terms of notes for this one, Kings 3-7 in their last 10 games against the spread. They are dead even across the board on the road as an underdog and as a road dog, all situations that they are in tonight. Grizzlies not that great against the spread, so not as interesting to note. For the Kings, they're going to be a little different for him tonight. Rudy Gay is out. He's going to miss the rest of the season with that torn Achilles. Tough break for him. Omri Caspi is out. He's going to miss the next 1 to 2 weeks with the calf injury. And Ty Lawson, listed as questionable, still questionable. I saw that on Twitter just now for tonight's game. Missed the last game with an ankle injury. So if Lawson's out, Darren Collison could be interesting against, you know, even though it's Mike Conley, still could be a little interesting. But a lot of things going to be shifting around for the Kings tonight. But I think the guy atop the throne, we know, DeMarcus Cousins, probably going to get more uses than ever.
Yeah. You gotta look at Darren Collison at 4,700. He's there. He's staring at us right in the face. Especially if we get word that Ty Lawson's more of the doubtful side than the probable side.
Right.
I mean, we talked about him the last game, Garrett Temple. I mean, I don't think we can go back there either. Malachi Richardson got called up from the D League, but he's kind of just like a reserve. So, I mean, Aaron Aflalo got a couple more minutes. He actually popped back into the starting lineup, which pissed a lot of us off. You know, Matt Barnes is who is interesting here. With Omri Caspi out and Rudy Gay now out, Matt Barnes finds himself firmly in one of who I think is going to be one of the more chalky options of the day. Actually, you know what? Now that I think about it, we had success going to Garrett Temple as well with both Caspi and Gay out earlier in the season. This might be a way to go back to him. So expect to see both Garrett Temple and Matt Barnes. I'll have to go back and do some double checking, but as of right now, expect to see both Matt Barnes and Garrett Temple on the sheets tonight. What are we doing with Anthony freaking Tolliver? He had four games over 32 minutes. He was absolutely just crushing value, and all of a sudden he gets popped to the bench and plays 22 against Indiana. Like,
I don't know if foul trouble had anything to do with it. I have no clue because, you know,
maybe
who the hell checks
minutes,
in on Anthony Tolliver?
But why? Well, I had him in my roster that night. You know, and
I'm just saying on a regular basis.
Is there a bigger disappointment right now in the NBA coming out of Kentucky than Willie Cauley-Stein?
Probably not.
And this was a guy that was was touted as he could guard the 1 through 5, and he still could. I'm not taking away from his talent. But
maybe if that one is Derrick Rose, but
this is the second. This is the second coach that has pretty much said, "Nah, I'm not going to play you." So he's done something. When Anthony Tolliver and Omri Caspi are playing more than your first round pick, top 10 pick, I might add. There's
number 7, I believe, to be exact.
There's some issues there. So, anyways, yeah, I mean, it's Boogie. I'm probably not going back to Anthony Tolliver as of right now. But There's definitely some value here. We're attacking Memphis on the wings, and I don't mind it. Darren Collison, Garrett Temple are very, and it's a Matt Barnes revenge game.
It is. It is.
Although I think half the league is a Matt Barnes revenge game.
Yeah, I mean, let's take a look. Let's see what is the most advantageous position for these Kings tonight. I mean, there's not many of them. I mean, look, just going off the basic noob, DVP thing. Point guard is the most advantageous position. And again, we've seen Mike Conley give up some pretty big games this season. I really like Darren Collison as a player. I know it kind of sucks that he kind of gets caught in with Ty Lawson more often than not. So again, you're going to see more opportunities with him now that Gay's out of the lineup. I mean, of course, Cousins is probably going to have a usage rate of like 45, but hell, if he's going to be getting those shots, Collison's probably the one that's going to be giving him the ball. So.
If you're making anywhere on the south end of five lineups, you should not be playing Boogie in most tournaments, just because his high point against the Memphis Grizzlies the last two seasons is 49.2, and that's not good enough. Now, if you're playing 10, 15, 20 lineups, then yeah, you can sprinkle in some Boogie because he's going to be low owned just because of the stigma of going up against Memphis. But Darren Collison is a fade, or sorry, not Darren Collison. DeMarcus Cousins is a fade for me tonight, by the way, or as of right now.
I wanted to check in on everyone's favorite, Kosta Koufos. I mean,
he's the one that started the other night, and I was like, what the hell?
Now, I'm just hypotheticalizing here, new word. Put it in the dictionary. But, I mean, minimum price, if guys are going to be getting more opportunities, I mean, especially if he's going to be playing the power forward.
No, Boogie's playing the power forward.
Most of the time. Right, but I feel like on the defensive end,
they're probably gonna I got you.
Gasol on him no matter what.
Yeah, I got you.
But, I mean, that could be interesting.
I don't bang with Z-Bo and Jamichael Green. Those are two pretty good defenders.
Yeah, they could. Z-Bo more so. I feel like I could bang with, not me personally, but I could throw guys up against him. But again, we're just looking for unknown opportunities here for the Sacramento Kings. So definitely
just,
something to
just
dig
play
in.
Darren Collison, because nobody's gonna play him.
I like it. Hey, I like it. All right. Maybe I got a little too fancy for my own pants. All right.
No, I like where your mind is going. I really do. But with them limiting Z-Bo's minutes and him coming off the bench, he's playing harder in shorter spurts.
Right.
We probably just made somebody spit out their coffee.
Yeah.
But, so. I don't – I'm not banging – I'm not – if I'm going to attack Z-Bo, I want to do it with somebody more talented than Kosta Koufos. That's my thing.
Well, yeah, duh, that goes without saying. All right, so what about these Memphis Grizzlies? They look like they got the Kings in a very vulnerable spot. But you already said James – is it Ennis? Ennis? That James, guy,
Ennis,
James?
Ennis, whatever.
Sure.
Ennis is – going to be a good value play. Jamichael Green is a pretty decent option. It looks like he's kind of got out of whatever funk he was currently in. This is the way they wanted the season to go. They wanted Jamichael Green to play about 30 minutes, and then when they go small, they wanted Zach Randolph to play at the five with Green and play about 20 to 25 minutes and then fill in at some 4-2. So they'll put Ennis at the 4, and put Vince Carter at the 3 and, Allen at the 2 and Z-Bo at the 5. And, but my question is can you pay $7,700 for Mike Conley? I mean, he had a bad game against Washington.
$7,700, you say?
He had a bad game against Washington. So if we take that one out of the mix, here's his game log. Here is point production. 48, 38, 39, 34, 49, 40, 26, 36. That's since he came back against these same Sacramento Kings on New Year's Eve.
I mean, Keith, as you well know, we do live in America, so anything is possible. But, you know, we got two teams here in the bottom third of, you know, running pace in the NBA. So 7,700, I know, for all that tournament stuff that we've been talking, I don't think so. I mean, I feel like Collison is the much better play in this scenario. And, I mean, my God, what a significant discount you can get between the two. And
yeah, you need 43 from Conley.
Yeah, and again, I mean, look, let's say things don't work out. You know, like this game is in the tank by the end of the first half. I mean, you're in quite a vulnerable spot there left with Conley, but I feel like Collison, you know, as long as Ty Lawson's out, he's going to get opportunity no matter what. So I feel so much more comfortable going with Collison.
Okay. I agree. I was just asking.
Oh, yeah, hey, gotta keep the people entertained, because I'm sure there are people that have those same questions. All good and dandy. All right, we're on the it's not even the back nine. We're on, like, the back 12 of this discussion. Three more games left to get to. I guess two if you want to cancel out Utah-Dallas. But anywho, let's get to the main event of the evening tonight. Golden State up against Houston. Warriors opened up as four-point favorites. That has jumped all the way up to 5.5 now. They are -215 on the money line. That is an alert. Usually when Golden State is that low on the money line, problems could arise. Anywho, over-under on this game is a whopping slate high, 237.5. 90% of the bets so far are on Golden State at, I don't know, anywhere in that 4 to 5.5 range there. So we got plenty of targets in this game. Let's just start with the Warriors. By the way, NBA scheduling did not do the Warriors any favors. This
week so far. What are you talking
about?
They just played 8 straight games back at Oracle.
Well, hold on. In the same week, Cavaliers, Thunder, and now the Rockets. A lot of narrative going on this week.
Home.
I'm just, hey.
Stop making excuses for the...
Don't get on me. Oh, I'm not making excuses. They whomped both those teams, so... Just saying.
I told you that.
All right. You did. All right, what are we doing here with the Warriors? Because we got tons of options.
You're playing Klay Thompson. You're playing Kevin Durant. You're playing Draymond Green. And you're going to the Rockets. I'm not playing Steph Curry tonight.
He's all over the domination station.
He is, because his price has decreased and his production's been up there. But we talk about people getting juiced up for matchups, and we talk about the rivalry between Beverly and, you know, Westbrook.
Right.
You don't think that Beverly wants to put his name back on the map as one of the elite point guard defenders in the NBA and shut down Steph Curry tonight?
That's freaking lovely.
Yeah. So, I'm not touching Steph Curry as of right now. I'm not touching him. Now, if we get news that, you know, by some chance that Beverly's sitting, which I don't think he's going to, but if we get news along those lines or something, then yeah, maybe we can reevaluate it. But right now, I'm not touching Steph Curry.
That's fair enough. I mean, you know, Patrick Beverly's second best point guard or second best defender among point guards in the NBA this season. Obviously, stellar career of having, you know, such sort of numbers. But, I mean, I'm going to feel more comfortable here. Obviously, Klay Thompson's probably going to draw the Harden matchup. You know, Durant against Ariza. It looks like Ryan Anderson's going to play tonight, so you got Dre against him. I mean, these are all just marquee matchups for those other three. So, yeah, I don't think you have to necessarily take that chance on Stephen Curry. You know, Kevin Durant, you know, there's been a couple games recently where he hasn't, you know, provided us with what we need for his price. But, again,
that has
I don't
more
think
to do with
any
blowouts than it does.
Right. I don't think there's anybody on the Warriors that is as safe on a consistent basis as he.
Yeah. So these two teams played twice last year, and they've played once this
once,
year.
Once this year, yeah.
Okay. So
they only played twice last year?
Yeah, they only played twice last year.
That's
if they're
right.
not the same division, they only play two or three times. If they're in the same division, they play four times.
Gotcha.
In the last three seasons, if you go back even farther, I just pull up the stat muse here. Okay, so in the last two seasons, Curry has eclipsed 50 once out of three matchups. Okay, that includes That includes a 42.1 earlier this season. Now you could go back and say, okay, 12-1, Curry's price was a little bit, I forgot where it was, but, you know, it probably was closer to meeting value because his price was probably down because, you know, it's Durant and everything, so it was a different situation. So if you just take out this year's matchup, you go last season and the season before that, okay?
Right.
Two out of the three times that he hit 50 was his first MVP season, which was the season that we really started to say, oh my God, Patrick Beverley's lost it. This season is not that season, ladies and gentlemen.
No.
So I can't play Steph Curry. Not since he's been having good games and now all of a sudden his price has creeped back up over 9K.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, you know, we've laid out some pretty decent point guard options for you today. I would much rather pay up at some of these. I mean, obviously, point guard's a skill position, but I'm just going to say, you know, some of these other skill positions. We got plenty of options there. So no, I don't think Curry's going to be worth it. And again, you know, why do that against one of the better defenders in the league? I'm sure Curry's going to have a fairly high ownership tonight, just being in a game, you know, this magnitude with the over or under. So yeah, I think you can probably kind of slide away from that. I'm sure Curry's going to have, you know, high 30s, low 40s, something along those lines, have a great night. But again, we're trying to go above and beyond that.
When you take the price plus the ownership, it's not worth it.
Yes, indeed. Well, now one of the things I've noticed now, last time that we spoke about the Rockets, we were talking about, you didn't buy into it. I said, you know, they're a little bit better defensively than a lot of people give them credit for. Now, all of that pretty much has to do with Patrick Beverley. None of that has to do with James Harden. And I remember watching a Rockets game recently, and I'm sure he's going to be a little more on point tonight, but dude just gets lost in rotation, with the offense, basically. So, I shouldn't say rotation, but just with like heavy movement within the offense, and we know that's what the Warriors do exactly well. So what that allows is a lot of these spot shooters like your Durants and your Clays just to have wide open threes. Certainly not where you want to, you know, certainly not how you want to have these Warriors players. But again, if you're going to have that direct matchup, I'm sure you're going to see a lot of movement from Klay Thompson tonight, which is going to allow for a lot of open three-pointers there. You know, obviously, if we're going A or B in that situation with Curry or Thompson, it's got to be Thompson. And it doesn't necessarily have much to do with the price. I mean, he's another guy that I know is going to be heavily owned tonight, but this is one where I could see it being well worth it.
Yeah, I mean, Klay, he's had success against him, too. I mean, his game logs are up and down against the Rockets. I mean, he only put up a 24.7, but that was about the time, you know, the beginning of December where we started hearing about how Klay Thompson was frustrated and, you know, because, you know, he wasn't the second option anymore or anything like that. So, I mean, I'm willing to go to the well because I think, you know, Harden is, I mean, there's a meme out there or there's a GIF out there that I'm going to find and I'll post it in the Slack channel, the NBA Slack channel. But about James Harden, literally he's guarding air. Like he was just, there were people running around and he was just, and it was either last year or the year before that, but he's literally guarding air. Like it's hilarious. So.
Fair enough. We talked about Durant. How are you feeling about Dre tonight?
I love me some dead AG tonight.
Okay. Sounds good. Sounds good. All right. So, look, all the Warriors are pretty much going to be good plays in this one. Again, though, Curry, we don't think he's going to be worth his hefty price tag. Now, on the Rockets side of things, obviously, we got James Harden. Now, I like Harden tonight, but my favorite dollar per point player, we already mentioned him numerous times, Patrick Beverley. He's been doing pretty well. Two of his last three games, he's got 37 FanDuel points. He's going to be needed on that court a lot tonight just in terms of defense. You know my motto, if they're going to be out there for minutes, they're going to fall ass backwards into points. So this is a big, big area that I'm looking at tonight. 5,700 on FanDuel. Not sure where he's at on DraftKings, but I love me some PBEV tonight.
Patrick Beverley is 5,600 on DraftKings.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind it. Steph Curry guarding him. You know, he's going to get some steals because Steph does turn the ball over. I saw a forum that said that, you know, Harden and Westbrook shouldn't be MVPs because they turn the ball over so much, and you know they're not true point guards because you know their shooting percentage and everything, and that was just hilarious. I kind of laughed, but he's gonna have some options there. You've got that you can kind of do. I mean, Ryan Anderson's on track to play. And yep. I believe it was you that kept telling me his home versus road splits. I can't remember which way they were.
Well, let's take a look. I don't think it was me, but let's take a look anyway.
So, anyways, if Ryan Anderson shoots better at home, versus on the road this season. If he shoots better at home than he does on the road, then I have interest because he's going to be low owned. Nobody's going to want to take him going against Day Day, and you know he's cheap.
It is,
and it's a 237
massively total. Massively better on the road. Six fewer FanDuel points at home than on the road.
Okay.
Yeah, he doesn't like H-Town. He gets nervous when Paul Wall's around.
Yeah, then he's not. No. I mean, it's a 237 total. I mean, everybody but Zaza Pachulia is in play here. And Montrezl Harrell and Clint Capella. I mean, if I'm going a big in this game, it's going to be Draymond, and then it's going to be Ryan Anderson. And it's those are the only two.
Fair enough. I have to make a comment here. Somebody mentioned Sean Kemp in the Slack chat. So those Sean Kemp kamikaze shoes, though, those are amazing. Yep. I owned a pair. All right, so yeah, we're going to have plenty. Trevor Ariza is going to go against Kevin Durant. That could be a tough one. Yeah, I wouldn't necessarily – I think we could actually see more minutes out of Corey Brewer tonight, and he could be an interesting play because, again – Yeah, I know. Hear me out here. Again, might not even do anything to move the meter. But, again, they're going to need him on defense a lot tonight. So, again, more minutes, more chances to fall ass backwards into points. It's not the most sexy play, but something to take a look at. Eric Gordon, I mean, he's certainly in play. They're going to need to take a lot of three-pointers, so he could be good. He might actually be a better dollar-per-point guy than Clay tonight. We want to get down to the nitty gritty of it.
Yeah, I mean, they're two of the higher. These two guys are, I think, one and two in most made threes in the NBA this year so far.
Oh, shit, Eric. They jumped him up to 6,100. Maybe not. Woof.
Who, Eric Gordon?
I did not see that. Yeah, holy Toledo.
Yeah, I can't do that at 6,100.
Yeah, okay. Scrap what I said. We'll just erase that part. I'm kidding. You could leave it in. It's okay. I make mistakes. We all do. I mean, my parents had me, right? What?
Oh, gosh. I'm just going to leave that there.
Yeah. Don't edit that part. That's funny. That's a good joke. All right. We're done there, right? Golden State, Houston?
Yeah.
Show enough. All right. Two more games. Basically one. Utah at Dallas.
Oh, wait. Sorry. There was one little game theory thing I wanted to point out here. Guys, this is a 237 total. Okay? This game is going to be highly owned on a lot of different players. Okay? There are going to be a ton of game stacks in this. If you are in a large field tournament, like the Clutch Shot, okay, like the Single Entry Series, okay, grab a piece, grab two pieces, maybe three. Do not stack this game up because you're not differentiating yourself. Okay, there's even a case to be made of fading the entire game.
What?
If we're talking a single entry series where you have one bullet and you can peg at a 237 total owner or 237 total, that all of the ownership is going to be here, or a vast majority of it, there is a case to be made in fading it, in hopes that it doesn't live up to the bill. Now, it's probably only going to be like 1 or 2 out of 10 times that it doesn't, you know, it doesn't go completely bonkers. But it's there. You have to think about it as far as from a game theory standpoint. And if you don't like my little game theory tidbits, go back and look at Kyle Quinn last night. So that's all I got to say. All right, let's go.
Do it. Do it. Let it go. All right. Utah Jazz at the Dallas Mavericks. Let's see. Utah, 6-point favorites in this one, minus 235 on the money line. Slate low, 187 total here. And the Mavericks are on the back end of a back-to-back. Only team on tonight's slate that has that honor. Congratulations. Rodney Hood's out. We'll miss the next 2 weeks in the injury. Andrew Bogut out. We'll miss extended time with the hamstring injury. All right. What's of interest here?
Rudy Gobert.
Rudy Gobert is of interest here.
And that's it. Like, I mean.
Yes.
Let's see here. Gordon Hayward, 13-9-4 with 7 turnovers the last time these two teams faced. Not going there. I mean, I don't think he's gonna, you know, put up a 22 again. But I'm just not going there. I mean, I guess if Joe Johnson's gonna play 20 plus minutes, then you could kind of look at him maybe in with a lot of tournaments. But other than that, I'm just maybe during. Maybe Deron Williams. It's Rudy Gobert and it's nobody else. What's Derek Favors' price? 54? Nope. See ya.
Yikes. Yes.
Yeah, it's Rudy Gobert and it's nobody else for me. It's not even close.
Okay. I could be tempted in some Harrison Barnes, but that's about it. Maybe some Darka, but again, back to back, it's going to be tough to see what the Mavs do. Andrew Bogut injury. So I was thinking maybe J.J. Barea could see some more minutes tonight, but I was taking a look at what he's been doing this season. They really haven't stretched him out. I think they're kind of trying to bring him along slowly. And
they're making a push for the playoffs, which is funny because they're not a far cry out of that 8 seed right now. Like we thought they were just a lock to miss the playoffs earlier in the season. They're not that far off. And what's bad about it is, like, they are, let's see here, Oklahoma City's a 6, Denver's a 7 point. They're 4 games out, and they've been playing a lot better recently. Their problem is they can't finish off games right now, but they're starting to get healthier. So, yeah, I think they're bringing them along because I think in the back end of after like the All-Star break and stuff, I think that's where we're going to start to see some Jose Juan Barea.
Gotta be fancy. Can't just say JJ. I like your style. It's all good. You're cool with me. All right. Yeah, let's just move it along because that game kind of sucks. Although, I mean, look, I mean, I guess we could.
No.
There are a couple different plays. Well, look, no. from a late slate perspective.
You don't need it. If this is in the late oh, gosh. Do they even have that late slate up yet?
No, but it's going to be.
It's a late night.
Okay, well, then it's going to be Utah, this and then the Dallas, Lakers-Pacers.
Just. Oh. Oh, you would have to bring that crap up. Okay. So here's your plays. In a late slate perspective, Rudy
Gobert. Our listeners will thank us later.
Yes, Rudy Gobert. Wesley Matthews.
Seth Curry?
No.
For some savings?
I think he gets... Oh, no. Well, I mean, he is going to play 30 minutes, so... Yeah, I mean, I guess you could. He's only 4,000. But I honestly don't think that you would need it. Here, let's just... I got an idea. If you're not... If you're new to the Domination Station... You know, we were having problems with it only running two games. Well, it doesn't have that problem anymore.
Oh, no.
So let's see here. Jeff Teague, looks like you're going to run. The rest, other than Wesley Matthews and Rudy. Well, I mean, I guess they have Dirk in there. But I don't like Dirk going up against Favors.
Or on the back end of a back-to-back. I don't need to play.
No, yeah, even if he plays. Very, very, very sparingly. So, I mean, I would probably, when I go in here and do the adjustments, I'm probably going to lower Dirk's minutes a little bit just because we've got him projected at 30, and I'm going to put that, if we put that more around 23, that really, really, really hits him, dings him pretty hard. So that puts
Gordon Hayward, too, without Rodney Hood in the mix. I like him. And then, oh boy, George Hill's in there too. Interesting. All right, fine. I'm done. Okay, last game of the night. Let's get to it. Hollywood takes center stage as we got the Indiana Pacers, 3-point favorites, -155 on the money line, traveling to the Staples Center. We got ourselves a 221.5 total. Definitely some things to like here. You know, especially on that late slate, it's not as easy to play with Rudy Gobert since there's a decent center going up against the LA Lakers. Mainly for the Pacers, though, I think this is a Jeff Teague, Paul George situation, but Miles Turner is in play. And you know what's funny is I would probably feel more comfortable using Miles Turner on the main slate than I would on the late night slate.
Yeah, I mean, I just think you're going to get Rudy Gobert at such low ownership that I think he's a great play. Not that Miles Turner's not. Don't get me wrong, he is. That's why
price differential.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I think that Mason Plumlee and Dwight Howard are going to go underowned. Well, Dwight Howard needs to go underowned, but
hey-o.
That's why I think Mason Plumlee is going to go a little bit underowned, is just because of the fact that you know, you got Miles Turner going up against Lakers, and it's kind of a default play for the DSF or DFS environment right now is to target the Lakers. So yeah, I mean, if we target the Lakers, then it's Miles Turner. Guys, we're not chasing Ivaka Zubac. We're not chasing Ivaka
Zubac. Oh, come on, Keith, you're no fun.
He played. Dude, that was fun to watch. But we're not chasing Ivaka Zubac. Luke Walton was just pissed with everybody, and he's just like, all right, guys. So I think he does play 20 minutes. But, I mean, Timofey Mozgov was just a... Yeah, whatever. Just don't play Ivaka Zubac. I think you can go back to Thaddeus Young, Julius Randle. I think they're both in play. Obviously, Miles Turner. Depending on what we get with Luol Deng, if Luol Deng's out, we're not playing Brandon Ingram. We're not playing Brandon Ingram. Well, maybe he actually showed some promise.
Duke Cater.
I'm going... I guess if you only have 42...
Paul, not a Duke enthusiast.
No, it's not that. It has nothing to do with that. It has nothing to do with Duke. Although it's kind of funny that most of the players I hate on are, you know, from Duke.
This is why you suck. This is why you suck. Okay.
If Luol Deng's out or if he's more towards the doubtful side, I'm going back to Lou Williams. You know, with Deng out, Williams takes the jump. we thought we were figuring out the Jordan Clarkson, D'Angelo Russell little conundrum, and then all of a sudden Jordan Clarkson plays 36, D'Angelo Russell plays 17, and it's put a big, huge middle finger to the whole situation again. I would have to say that my original thought is it's going to default back to D'Angelo Russell. And it had more to do with the fact that he just wasn't effective, and Jordan Clarkson was. I think Jordan Clarkson's going to have elevated ownership because of the game log watchers and his price tag. I'm not going to fall into that trap. I would rather play D'Angelo Russell than Jordan Clarkson, but that's just my tournament mind saying I'm not going to fall into recency bias until he screws me about eight times. Looking at you, Sean Kilpatrick. So yeah, that would be my thoughts on the Lakers.
I got a hot take.
If you say Marcelo Hurtwist, then I'm
my sources. What's this? My sources. Okay. Now that could range from people to TV to the internet. My sources say there are more sellers in the Lakers organization, more people that would prefer selling on D'Angelo Russell than keeping him in.
Is one of those Luke Walton?
You know, if last game is any indication. I mean, you know, last game was a total misnomer for these Lakers. I mean, which is saying a lot because we never know what we're getting with them. But the fact that, you know, these guys only played, you know, what, under 15 minutes, I believe they played?
He played 17 minutes. He came out. He was shooting the ball, but he wasn't sinking them. They got down to a big lead, or they got down to a big deficit. And then all of a sudden, you know, Jordan Clarkson and, you know, Lou Williams come in, and all of a sudden they start, you know, making a charge back. So Luke Walton isn't one to tank. He wants to develop these guys, and he wants to, you know, if they lose, they lose, but they're going to lose trying. That's just not who he is. You know, I just – my brain, because if I look at the minutes trend, yeah, Russell wasn't playing 35 minutes like he was when Clarkson was out, but he was still getting close to that 30 mark, and – I just think it could very well be that this game Russell comes out and he's, you know, motivated and he's sinking his shots and he's the one that plays 36 minutes, you know? That's what I'm saying. As far as from a tournament, you know, game theory perspective, and I'm all for if they sell on D'Angelo Russell, I can't blame them.
Right.
Because, you know, they do have Jordan Clarkson there, and I think you can still get, you can get a good haul for D'Angelo Russell. But if we're talking like, you know, not looking at that and looking at a lot of different things, you know, now if Jordan Clarkson's announced the starter, then all bets are off. But as of right now,
I don't think it's going that. I was going to say this is more like for the long term. Like, I don't think it's going down any day soon. But yeah, I just, you know, again, it's interesting because the one thing I did hear too is that like they want Brandon Ingram as their, like, that's the guy that they're going to try to build around. Like basically what I heard, anybody could have Russell. We could talk about Randall, probably not, but the one guy that they really want to build around is Brandon Ingram. And I thought it was very interesting because I feel like the Lakers could use a center. And, you know, just saying, there's a team out there. There's a team that has a center. I mean, I'm just saying, looking to rebuild and get some young pieces and whatnot.
Denver Nuggets? Yusuf Nurkic is making the news. He's on the trading block. Anyways, yeah.
No, that's not the team that I'm talking about.
I know. Anyways, it's kind of one of those things. The trade deadline is something that we're going to have to watch out for. But as of right now, present day and current information, that's just kind of the way I'm leaning. Now, is D'Angelo Russell going to find his way into my lineup? Probably not. Not unless I'm doing a late night hammer stack.
For a late night contest.
Or a late night contest.
Even then, he's a little suspect.
No, I would play him then. Because I would probably go Jeff Teague, D'Angelo Russell.
You can go for lower ownership. You can go Jeff Teague, George Hill, but that's neither here nor there.
Yeah, I mean, you could do that too. But Lou Williams is somebody that I firmly do have on my radar.
No matter what.
And
I enjoy Lou, and especially too. Look, we're talking about that second unit with Indiana. My God, they're bad on defense, especially if he draws the Monta Ellis assignment. My God, it could get fun real quick.
Yep.
There's one other guy I wanted to mention. Oh yeah, duh, the whole Pacers team. We didn't really talk about them, but Paul George on the domination station firmly. I'm pretty sure if you do the basic three game thing, I'm sorry, not the three lineup thing for the main slate, it spits out Paul George and Kevin Durant as your small forwards. I like that a lot because, you know, typically small forward is a real hit or miss position, and I feel like both those guys are going to have tremendous upside tonight. Yep. Especially with the Lakers running a high pace, just absolutely terrible on defense. I feel
7,400 is a price I can pay for him now.
Yeah, I feel looking at the Lakers, according to the Vegas line, I feel like they're the most transparent team in the league because when they're favored, it's like, oh, they're never favored. You know, we could always go to them. But, you know, when they're the dog, I mean, it's basically – like, they pretty much lose every time they're the dog. When they're favored, they win. I mean, just taking a brief look at it right now. But, I mean, obviously it's not going to happen all the time. But, I mean, I'm willing to bet that it's going to be a heavy Paul George or Jeff Teague sort of production night. And I'm not going to be surprised if Miles Turner slips in there with something special tonight as well.
Don't mind that at all.
Thad Young's been playing pretty well, too. Don't forget that. Lately.
Yep, yep, yep.
All right. Is that going to do it?
Yeah. I think so.
All right. Cool beans. We'll be back on Monday. I'm not going to be able to produce any content this weekend. I got some stuff going on. But, again, we have the domination station, which kind of, you know, falls into favor of that. Keith always got the weekends off, so you're not going to have any written words, but you're going to have plenty of fancy statistical analysis spit out through the domination station. So you shall not go unaccounted for. I don't know what word I was trying to go for.
You shall still be able to get your fix in, my friends.
You're going to get your fix. That's a much fancier way of saying it. All right, so if you guys want to follow us on Twitter, follow me at 14a.walsh. Keith, you can find him at Boomers DFS Daddy. If you guys are members of this, you already know what's going on there. But if you're not, DFSArmy.com, use the promo code podcast, get you 20% off each month, $16 a month it comes out to. That is insane. And in that, you get access to the domination station, 24/7 Slack chat, and just all sorts of, you know, great advice that goes along with it. Basically, on-demand advice is how I would explain it.
There you go.
The Geek has set up an unbelievable empire, and we ain't going nowhere. That's nope. It. That's going to do it. We will see you guys on Monday. Good luck this weekend, and good luck with NFL this week, especially if your team's in it. So, peace.
Peace out.